Can we give him some praise in this house? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, I don't want to spend too much time here because I want to get right into the Word of God. I feel God's presence in this place. I saw this here on the steps here, and that is true right now. Hallelujah. He is here, y'all. He is here. And I praise him for that, and I thank him for that. I want to take just a second and thank your whole church has just been so welcoming. The hospitality has been second to none. We've been treated like family here, and we're just so thankful for you all. And we love each and every one of you all. We want you all to know that before we start into the Word of God. I am obedient to the Word of God. I will preach what God gives me. So we want you all to know that we love you all, but most importantly, He loves you all. Amen. Before we get into the Word of God today, I need to pause and acknowledge the weight of what we've all been seeing and feeling in the world. Church, we're in a storm. Amen? Everywhere we look, evil seems to run rampant. Darkness has grown bold. Truth has been silenced, or they've tried to silence it. Hallelujah. There's still a few. Amen? And just this past week, we witnessed the martyrdom of a man of courage, conviction, and faith. He gave his very life for standing firm in what is right, but his death is a sobering reminder that we are living in perilous times. Amen? I know many of you probably feel the heaviness. You might feel the anger, the sorrow, or maybe even fear over what tomorrow may bring. But hear me. The Word of God still declares that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. So today I stand before you to remind you, do not fear. Hallelujah. There is still hope. Hallelujah. There is still peace and there is still love. Hope because God is still on the throne. Amen. Peace because Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Hallelujah. And love because the Bible tells us that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And church, I believe with all my heart that this very gathering, that this revival is not by chance. I don't believe it was happenstance that it was scheduled when it was scheduled. Amen? There's a word that I keep hearing in my spirit that's apostolic. Apostolic means sent. And I believe that we're here for this appointed time, for an appointed purpose. Hallelujah. And as I prayed to the Lord, He laid this theme on my heart, and I want you all to receive it with the same sincerity and the same gravity that it was given to me with. And the theme that I feel like God gave me for this revival is real repentance, real revival. Amen. Amen. For too long, the church has wavered like the people on Mount Carmel. And I've come here today, I've come here this week to ask you, just as Elijah asked, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then serve Him. Amen? But too often we've turned modern Christianity into a Sunday routine. We show up, we sit down, we sing a song, we hear a sermon, and we go home unchanged. But God calls us to more. Amen? His word says, and this is the verse that God gave me for this revival, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Hallelujah. And church, I come just to say this. It's time that we get honest with ourselves. And it's time that we get honest with God. Amen? I know this is hard for an opener. I love y'all, but I'm being obedient to the Lord. Because I believe that these next few days are not just another series of services. I believe God has set this time apart to do something supernatural. I believe we're going to see prodigals come home. Hallelujah. I believe we're going to see captives set free. I believe we're going to see the sick healed. Hallelujah. I believe we're going to see people called and commissioned for His service. And I believe we're going to see the mighty works of God on full display. Amen. So yes, these are troubling times. But church, they are also times of great opportunity. Time for the light to shine in a dark world. Amen? It's time to stand. It's a time to point people to the only shelter that remains. And that's where I want to take you this morning in the Scripture. I would that you would stand with me for the reading of the Holy Word of God. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 9, verses 18 through 21. Say amen when you got it. It's going to be on the screen. I'm going to be reading to you out of the English Standard Version. And the Bible says, "Behold, about this time tomorrow I will cause a very heavy hail to fall, such as has never been seen in Egypt from the day it was founded unto now. Now therefore send, get your livestock and all that you have in the field into safe shelter. For every man and beast that is in the field and is not brought home will die when the hail falls on them. Then whoever feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh hurried his slaves and his livestock into the houses. But whoever did not pay attention to the word of the Lord left his slaves and his livestock in the field." I would that you would remain standing with me just for a moment if you're able. In our opening text, God warns Egypt, tomorrow a storm is coming. It was unlike anything they had ever faced. Some believed the word of the Lord and ran for shelter. Others ignored it, hardened their hearts, and were destroyed. That sounds a lot like today's society, amen? Amen? And church, I need to tell you, we're not just talking about a storm on the horizon anymore. The storm is already here. Just look around, we see that innocent lives are being taken. Families are breaking apart at alarming rates. Violence and hatred fill our streets. Deception is celebrated and rewarded, all while the truth of God's word is not just mocked, but it's actually being punished. But church, we've been like Egypt. We've hardened our hearts. We've ignored the word of the Lord. We've failed to stand boldly for the truth. We've pushed God out of our homes, out of our schools, out of our government, and yes, even out of many churches. Can I get a witness? And now the hail is falling. The weight is heavy. You can feel it. People are anxious. People are angry. People are weary. And if we're honest, many are afraid. And when the storm hits, instinctively we all look for shelter. We look for peace. We look for something, someone to hold on to when everything else is crumbling around us. The approval of people won't protect you. Money can't shield you. Even the closest relationships, as precious as they are, cannot cover you. There is only one place of safety, only one refuge, only one unshakable shelter, and that is Jesus Christ. And I've got good news for you. Unlike Egypt, we're not out of time. God has given us this very moment right now to step into the shelter. The storm is here, yes, but the door of mercy is still open. The invitation is still extended. But, and here's the challenge, knowing about the shelter isn't enough. Believing the shelter is real isn't enough. We can't just acknowledge it, we can't just admire it, but we must enter in, hallelujah. We must take up residence, we must trust fully, we must turn wholeheartedly and fully to Jesus. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and ask him, have you taken shelter? Oh no, that was the wrong neighbor. Turn to the other neighbor and ask them. I would that you would pray for me and with me. Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus, and we just thank you, God. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, God, to share thy word, God. I pray, God, that you move upon this service, God. I pray, God, that you speak through me, Lord. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to touch my lips, God. I pray, God, that not my words come forth, Lord, but that your words come forth, Lord. And I pray, God, that your spirit fill this house right now. Lord, we feel your presence here, but we ask you to move, Lord, in a mighty way that people will be talking about it for some time, God, that you will be glorified in this house. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. And Lord, we ask you to touch the hearts and the minds of the hearers, God. Prepare them for your word, Lord. We pray, God, that you touch them right now. Lord, we pray for the convicting power of the Holy Ghost in this house. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I mentioned about how we're sure to face storms in this life and how we're going through a storm right now. But I want to expound upon that just a bit, if I may. See, in this world that's influenced by spiritual wickedness in high places, the prince of the power of the air, this world can seem like it's spiraling out of control. It seems like everywhere we turn, there's negativity, disaster, turmoil, or calamity. There's financial struggle. Money is drying up. Things are getting more expensive. Can I get a witness on that one? Most everybody I know is living from paycheck to paycheck. One wrong move, and it can leave you in a panic trying to figure out how to feed your family. But I want to leave you with what the Holy Word of God says. Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." And King David told us, "I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Amen. See, he's invested in you. He cares for you. He loves you. And is anybody in this place thankful that God does provide? Hallelujah. Amen. Does everybody know one of his names is Jehovah Jireh? The Lord doth provide. See, I'm convinced that so often we make the Lord our last line of help instead of making him our first line of help. Come back to that. See, if we're found in Christ, we can rest in his provision. Hit your neighbor and say, "There is a shelter." And then we live in a time where people are genuinely cruel one to another. Past hurt is a big problem. And get this, it's cumulative. In other words, it adds up. We develop wounds. What happens if a place gets wounded over and over and over again? It turns into a callus, amen? See, if we're not careful, we begin to harden. And in today's time, it often feels like there's no love. And it can leave you feeling like no one truly cares about you. Anybody been there? I have. And let's get real for a minute. People do things and it hurts. And here's the truth. The hits we expect, they aren't that bad. They still hurt, but it's the hits we don't expect. The ones that we don't deserve. The ones that catch us off guard. Those are the ones that hurt the most. And those are the ones that cut the deepest. But thank God there is one that wants to mend that wound, that wants to heal that pain, hallelujah, and fill that hole in your life. There is one that can and will bind up that broken heart. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 61:1, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Hallelujah. And then the Bible tells us in Ezekiel 36:26, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away that stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh." Hallelujah. There is an answer, amen? See, only Jesus can touch the place that no one else can reach. He can mend what was shattered. He can soften what was hardened. and he can heal, or he can heal what was scarred. But there's a choice in that. Will you let him do it? Will you allow the healer to enter the place you've been guarding? But here's where we must be honest. Pain often leads to unforgiveness. And unforgiveness is a storm of its own. Jesus himself said in Matthew 6:15, "If you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." I don't know about y'all, but I need forgiveness. Amen? Amen. And that's not cruelty from the Word of God, but it's clarity. Amen? It's not because God wants to withhold his mercy, but because unforgiveness receives a heart that hasn't fully received it. Amen? And here's the perspective that humbles us. Every one of us has sinned against God far more than anyone has ever sinned against us. Yet he forgives freely and fully through Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand, the measure of forgiveness that you have toward others is a pretty good indicator of the measure of how deeply you've grasped God's forgiveness for you. Amen? So why do we struggle to forgive? Listen, y'all, these points, just what God laid on my heart for this message. I could have went a million different directions here, but I feel like God has a message for some people in this house today. So the reason we struggle to forgive is because we forget who the real enemy is. Paul reminds us in Ephesians 6:12, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world." Your enemy is not the one who hurt you. Your enemy is Satan. He's the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he would love nothing more than to keep you chained in bitterness until it drags you to hell. Amen? But Jesus has a better word. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Jesus has a better word. Amen? He says, "Forgive and I'll forgive you." Hallelujah. He says, "Release, and you'll be released. Come to me, and I'll bind you up." So let him change your life in this place today. And I want you to understand this. Forgiving someone doesn't mean they were right. Forgiving someone means Jesus is right. Does everybody in here believe Jesus is right? Then let me ask you, have you forgiven so that you'll be forgiven? Because I came to tell somebody today that there is one that cares for you. More so than you've ever been cared for by anybody else. He's so caring that he even sees the sparrow fall. He has the hair on your head numbered. And as much as I love my wife, I've never thought of spending the time to count her hair. Amen? As much as you love your child, you've never thought about spending the time to count their hair. Yet this is the kind of love that God has for us. That's how well he knows you, and that's how well he cares for you. And the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Well, how do you know, brother? Because in the beginning he created you in his own image after his own likeness. And then despite all of our failures, despite all of our mistakes, he never turned his back on you and he never will. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody needs to hear me in this house today. I don't care how much wrong you've done in your life. I don't care how far you went to the side. Amen. He's never turned his back on you. He's never given up on you. And he's here to save you today. Hallelujah. I think of the prodigal son. The prodigal went about as far away as you could go. But the Bible said he came to himself. He got up and he dusted himself off and he headed toward home. Everybody knows the story. He was trying to come up with some kind of big apology in his mind. But the Bible said the Father was actually waiting for him. And when he came in sight, the Father ran to him. Hallelujah. And he said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Hallelujah. See, it's God that changes our garments. Amen. If we just stand up, turn around, and go home. So many people, I'm getting way off here. But I feel the Lord. So many people say, well, I'll get right with the Lord after I get myself straightened up. The devil is a liar. It's God that changes the garment. Come on, somebody. He'd been in the pig pen. He was all muddy. He probably had all kinds of stuff all over him. Amen. But when he came home, hallelujah, the Father met him where he was at. And he said, bring forth the robe, hallelujah, and put it on him. I don't care what you're carrying around. I don't care what you're walking around with on you. I don't care how far away you've walked. The Bible says that the blood of Christ brings nigh those that were once far off. Come on, somebody. But how do we know that he loves us? He never turned his back on you, and he never will. And the Bible tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we had no hope, when we had no way out, hallelujah, he made that way through his own Son who went to the cross for each and every one of you so that you could be forgiven, so that you could be set free, so that you could be changed, and so that you could be saved. See, that's how I know. And reconciliation, healing, forgiveness is what he wants for your life. And praise God, they happen at this altar. Amen? You can put whatever it is under the blood of Christ today. Hit your neighbor and say, there is a shelter. Y'all got the theme yet? There is a shelter. Have you taken shelter? Or have you just said you've taken shelter? Have you truly taken shelter? And again, in this world, it's easy to find ourselves without peace, and sometimes it can seem like there's no hope. We can battle with anxiety and restlessness. We look all around, and sometimes I feel like Paul. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, he said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. But I want you to catch this. Biblical hope is not mere optimism. It's not denial of difficulty. But rather, it is a confident, joyful expectation that God is who he says he is, and he will do what he promised to do. Amen? See, peace is not the absence of trouble. But peace is the presence of the Savior in the trouble. See, it gives strength today because of certainty about tomorrow. True hope, biblical hope. And we know that no matter what is going on around us or in our lives today, no matter what kind of light affliction, and that's what Paul calls them, he says these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, that we have a bright, bright future in Jesus Christ. See, if we're found in Jesus, we're promised eternal life. No matter what the world throws our way, there is a shelter. There is safety. We can enter into that shelter, and Jesus Christ is that shelter. See, Jesus isn't just a truth to acknowledge. He is the truth. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. No man comes to the Father but by me. He is the refuge to run into. The Bible tells us in Psalm 91, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord," oh listen, "He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Hallelujah. And I believe that the Lord sent me here today to tell you all that no matter what you're dealing with, no matter what kind of storm you're walking in, maybe you're dealing with regrets of things you've done in the past, maybe you're carrying shame, you don't have to carry them anymore. Amen? Jesus says, "Give them to me." Hallelujah. The Bible says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Maybe some of you walked in here tonight battling depression. Or this morning, rather. Maybe the weight of the world feels like it's pushing down on your chest. And you wonder if you'll ever feel true joy again. Maybe life has beaten you down. Maybe the storm hasn't just touched you, but it's bruised you. Maybe it's scarred you and left you limping. I get it. I really do. But more importantly, Jesus gets it. He knows what it's like to be rejected. He knows what it's like to be misunderstood, abandoned, even betrayed. And he isn't distant from your pain, but he has entered into it. And in the middle of the storm, he speaks these words in John 14, 1 through 3. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." See, that's not just a promise about heaven someday. That's peace for your heart today. But don't miss this. He didn't just say many mansions. He said, "I go and prepare a place for you." For you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, "I prepare a place for you." And then we read Paul echoes the same sentiment in Romans 8:18 when he says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." Hallelujah. And I want you to understand this. Whatever you're going through, whatever kind of storm that you're dealing with in your life, it may be there for a season, but it just looks like a passing cloud in the view of eternity. Whew. But hear me. Stepping into relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not just a prayer we pray. It's stepping into a fortified shelter in the middle of a devastating storm. And lastly, I want to talk to you about the storm of addiction. I thought I was done with my sermon this morning. The Lord dropped this on me. So I fully believe that this is for somebody in this house today. Addiction is a trick of the enemy. It's another false shelter. It promises comfort, escape, or strength, but it only leaves chains behind. But I believe that there are some under the sound of my voice that would say, "I don't even know how I got here. I never wanted to be here." See, what starts is just once, just to take the edge off or just to help me cope, soon becomes a prison you can't break out of on your own. It shatters families, empties bank accounts, robs peace, and whispers to you in the night, "You'll never be free." Oh, but I thank God that Jesus tells us otherwise. Amen. I thank God that the Word of God speaks a better truth. Amen. The Bible says in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. Addiction says you're bound forever, but Jesus says, I've already broken the chains. Addiction says you'll never be able to change, but Jesus says, I make all things new. Hallelujah. Addiction says you're alone, but then we hear Jesus say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. He says, all the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Hallelujah. He can and will rewrite your story in this place today if you'll let him. Does anybody believe that in his house? Well, true belief requires action. I want to read you another story briefly. We're getting close, y'all. I've done preached out. I'm kidding. I never preach out. There's another story in the scripture in Numbers 21. When fiery servants invaded the camp of Israel, Moses prayed for the people and God provided a remedy. Starting in verse 8, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery servant, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it up on a pole, and it came to pass that if a certain had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. But I want you to get this, and I mean really get it. God required them to act, to look in faith and live. It wasn't enough just to believe that God had provided their healing or that their healing was true, but they had to stop what they're doing, turn, and look upon it to receive their healing. Hallelujah. And please understand that when they did this, they received salvation from death. They moved from death unto life. But I thank God that this was a great foretelling of things to come. John 3:14. Jesus speaking to us. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. See, our healing, our hope, our help, our salvation comes from what Jesus did on the cross. But please hear me. Hear me in this house today. We must stop what we're doing. We must turn and look upon Him. And we must fix our gaze with faith upon Him. Amen? See, partial commitment's not enough. We read in Matthew 7:24-27. Jesus speaking to us, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who has built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. Here, Jesus tells us the story of two builders. Both heard his word, but only one acted upon it. One house stood firm in the storm, amen. The other crumbled. Hearing the word is not enough. And listen to this. The storm will always reveal what we've built our house upon. And then lastly, I want to talk to you about the greatest storm of all. The storm of judgment. The Bible said it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. God warns before he judges. Is anybody thankful for that? Going back to the opening passage, God gave Egypt a clear warning before judgment fell. He gave them a chance to respond, a chance to be spared. And how many in here know that God's mercy is seen in His warnings, but His mercy demands a response? Amen? Only those who feared and obeyed His word were protected from the devastating storm. Well, God now tells us that there is certain judgment coming. We all know about it. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time here, but be sure that it's coming. The Bible says, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." We will spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. Or New Jerusalem for the millennium. But we'll not get into that. And listen, I'm not going to beat you with it, but I will say this, that Jesus preached more on hell than anybody else. Why? Because he doesn't want you to go there. And neither do I. See, today, so many preachers have taken the fire out of hell. We act like we're going through it here on earth, and I'm telling you, there is nothing on earth that compares. But thank God, we've been offered shelter from all that. But the decision on where you will spend your eternity is yours to make. Brother, how do I step into the shelter of Jesus Christ? It starts with repentance. Does everybody know what repentance is? It means to turn. It means to turn from you being Lord of your life to Christ being Lord of our life. To this being Lord of our life. Amen. Repentance is more than regret. It's not just saying I'm sorry. It's a turning, a change of heart, mind, direction, and get this, allegiance. The Bible says in Acts 3:19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out." See, before anyone could dwell in the shelter of God's presence, the sin that separates us from Him must be dealt with. Now, Jesus did the work when he said, "It is finished." The sin debt was paid, but we must make the decision to turn fully and wholeheartedly to him. Even Jesus' first message was clear. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Peter's first sermon after Pentecost echoed the same. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. See, repentance is the first step into the shelter. And without it, no matter how much we believe intellectually, we remain outside the covering of God's grace. Brother, if you would go ahead and start the music. But repentance requires humility and a choice. You cannot hold on to intentional, willing sin and Christ at the same time. See, to enter into this shelter, there are some things that we have to leave outside. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:7, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him." This is not a message of condemnation. Jesus doesn't condemn. He didn't come to condemn man, but to save men's lives. Ezekiel 18 says this, "Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live?" See, to truly trust in the work that Jesus did on Calvary, you must turn from the sin that nailed him there. And when you do that in simple faith, trusting in him, it's he that helps us to change. Amen. We just come to him in simple faith, full surrender, and he changes us. He helps us to repent. We can't repent without him. So today, you've heard the warning. You've seen the storm, but have you truly made Jesus Christ Lord of your life? Have you sat Him on the throne of your heart in this place, or does something else have place ahead of Him in your life? Maybe it's money. Maybe it's somebody else. Jesus said, "He who loves mother or father more than me is not worthy of me, and him that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Maybe it's reputation or position. Maybe it's some kind of secret sin that you're dealing with that nobody even knows that you're struggling with. The good news is, you can set Him on the throne of your life today. See, the ultimate shelter was built at Calvary. Oh, come on, somebody. Every story that we've looked at today, Egypt's hailstorm, Israel's fiery serpents, they point to something greater. They were warnings, shadows, and previews. But the cross of Jesus Christ is the fulfillment. Just like God provided shelter from the hail in Egypt, just like He provided healing through the bronze serpent, God has provided eternal shelter through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. It was framed with wood, nailed with grace, and sealed with His blood, His precious blood. See, at Calvary, Jesus stood in the storm for us. He didn't just offer a shelter, but He became our shelter. When they tied Him to that whipping post, and He endured those lashes that ripped the skin off of His back, He did that for you. When they brought Him out, put a purple robe on Him, put a crown of thorns on Him, and they mocked Him and got down and said, "Behold, King of the Jews." The Bible said that He opened not His mouth. He did that. He took that for you. The Bible says that they took a rod and smote Him on the head, driving those thorns in deeper. He did that for you. He didn't do all that so you could stay where you're at, so that you'd have to struggle. And then those same hands, those loving, precious hands that had fed the hungry, that had touched the blinded eyes and made them see again, hallelujah, that had reached down and helped those up that couldn't get up on their own, He opened those hands up. And He allowed them to put the nails in there that I deserve and the nails that you deserve so that we could be forgiven. See, He took the full weight of God's wrath, the hailstorm of judgment that should have fallen on us. The Bible says in Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 6, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all." All we like sheep have gone astray. Even your preacher today, amen? But the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. See, we've all made mistakes. We've all gotten mixed up in things that we never should have. But the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. But see, the cross is not just a symbol of suffering of our Savior. It's the open door to the shelter. It's the place where the wrath of God met the mercy of God and where grace made a way for you to come on in. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in Proverbs 18:10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." But you must come. You must run in. You must respond. Hallelujah. Amen. So don't delay. You know, the Bible never talks of salvation or forgiveness or restoration or redemption in a passive sense. I think of Zacchaeus when he was up in the sycamore tree. Jesus walked over and said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down." Hallelujah. And the Bible says on his way down, when Zacchaeus got down, he repented. And Jesus said, "Oh, hallelujah." He said, "Salvation has come to thy house today." And that can be somebody's story in this place today. Freedom. All that stuff you've been dealing with, all that stuff you've been carrying around, you can leave it behind today. Hallelujah. I think of the woman at the well. She came in the heat of the day. She was embarrassed. She had a lot of shame. She had a lot of things in her life that she wasn't proud of. Amen? But she had an encounter with Christ. And the Bible says, and if you don't read it real carefully, you'll miss it. The Bible says she left her water pot behind. Her whole purpose. Oh, listen. Her whole life changed in that moment. What she had originally come there for didn't even matter anymore. Old things had passed away. Behold, all things had become new. Oh, I thank Jesus in this house. So today, step into the shelter. Step into the freedom that was paid for at Calvary. Step into the new life that God has for you. Step into the purpose that He put you on this earth for. I would that everyone would stand, bow your head, and close your eyes. No one looking around. God is speaking to you through this message, and you want to respond, I'm going to ask you to make a decision. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to come and get you. But one way or the other, you will make a decision in this house today. Maybe you've never known Him. Or maybe you've never truly, fully committed. Maybe here lately you've just been going through the motions. Maybe you once ran well, but lately you've slipped back a little bit. Or maybe there's something in your life that you want to make right with God. I believe there's people in this room that have some things that they need to lay down today. And I promise you, you heard the scripture. He said, "All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." He will not turn you away in this place today. See, I speak against the spirit of addiction in this place. I rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. It has to go. Does everybody know that there's no sin, there's no bondage, there's no devil in hell that can stand to the name of Jesus Christ? You can be set free in this place today. See, we cast down every imagination that exalts itself against God. Right now, in the name of Jesus. The truth is, you can have your slate wiped clean in this place right now. You can be changed, set free. You can be a new creature, born again right now. Give it to God today. Every head bowed, no one looking around. If that's you and you'd say, "Brother, I want to make things right with God today," I would simply ask you to raise your hand. No one looking around. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that hand, that hand, that hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that hand. I don't know what you're carrying, but God says, "Give it to me. Don't carry it anymore." You don't have to carry it. You're not meant to carry that. If God's speaking to you through this message, raise that hand. Jesus said, "Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. Praise God. Thank you for that hand. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to do two things here. Jesus tells us He that denies me before man, I'll deny before the Father. But he that confesses me before man, I'll confess before the Father. So we're all going to pray together here in just a moment. But then I want to open this altar up, and I challenge everybody that raised their hand to come up and listen. We don't just come here to preach the gospel, but we come here to do the gospel. Amen? We believe that you can be set free, delivered from whatever it is that you have going on in your life. We believe in healing. Hallelujah. Jesus said that we would lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. So if you have need of anything here in just a moment after we pray, I'm going to open this altar up and I'm going to invite you to come. But every voice lifted in this house, let's pray this prayer together. Every voice lifted. Father, I come to you in the name of your Son Jesus. I repent. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that through what you did on the cross, I can be forgiven, cleansed, and changed. Today, I commit my life to you in fullness and in truth. I thank you for saving me and changing me in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give God some praise in this house?